Corinne Mason, the owner of the Crew Coach, on the Wellbeing Project. Today I have Marcella with us from On Board, and she is a business consultant. Welcome, Marcella.
Thank you, Karine. So good to see you. Good morning, everybody. I'm so happy to be here with you, Karina. I think what you're doing is truly amazing. I've been following and all your work, and honestly, like, chapeau. Well done.
Oh, thank you. I was speaking to someone the other day about you, and I was like, Marcella is a superwoman. Like, I don't know how she does it with a toddler, a husband, a business that is just exploding, and such a strong social media presence. So I can't wait to chat to you to find out what your superpowers are.
Well, I think you have it too. We are women. We are able to do so many things. And I think, you know, we are passionate, you know. It all comes down to, like, time management, you know, and rearranging your priorities and, you know, organizing your agenda, scheduling, and just saying no to many things. That was one of the big lessons. It's like, you cannot do it all, and you need to focus on what is bringing you the most rewards. What is rewards? It's not only money-wise, but also, you know, like, okay, what am I going to do that makes me really happy? Or what am I going to do, something that I really enjoy? Or I should focus my time in what is bringing me the most money, you know? So I think it's just about, you know, organizing your priorities, you know, doing your to-do lists, doing your agenda, and then just, you know, saying no, because you can get so easily distracted, you know? And right now, I think the secret of success is focus, because we have no focus because we are so distracted by so many things, you know? So I try to do one task at a time, not checking my phone, not opening another tab, you know, because, like, if you check emails, WhatsApp, Instagram, you know, like, we get so much stimuli, right, from everything. And then we are never really doing one thing at a time, you know. It's like you have fragments of your attention, and then you can only do things well and properly if you focus on that single task you're doing at the moment.
Absolutely. So true. Okay, so I would love to hear about your career journey. What was your first job ever?
My first job ever, so I studied finance. So after graduation, I started working at a private bank in Monaco. And then I was super excited because, you know, this is like every business school dream, right? Like, I landed that dream job, and I was non-European, you know, so I needed papers and work permits. So it was kind of like, oh my God, like, you know, it was like super, super, super hard, but I worked super hard to get it. And then on the first month, I got fired. So it was kind of like a you know, a big punch on the face, because it was 2008. So it was right in the middle of the financial crisis and me starting in a financial career, you know, and it was kind of like I was getting everything right. And then suddenly reality hits, you know, kind of like the COVID situation where you want to start something and then just like your dreams are shattering to pieces. Yeah, I mean, then my first job in yachting was just because I needed a job. I had no idea about the yachting industry. And there was a company in Antibes that were selling lights, so lighting systems for yachts. And they started with the new underwater lights, which didn't exist at the time. And then, yeah, so I started in an Antibes office selling underwater lights to shipyards.
Okay, crazy. So that was your introduction into the yachting industry.
Yeah, okay. Which was amazing hands-on sales experience, because it was cold calling, it was knocking on doors. I mean, I lived in my Mini Cooper and I drove all over Europe. I went to, you know, all of the shipyards in Italy, in Germany, in the Netherlands, you know, and I was just like literally living from shipyard to shipyard to shipyard to shipyard nonstop for 3 years. So I learn a lot about how to do business in different languages and with different cultures. I learned a lot about the art of negotiation, about, you know, it was just like pure sales. And I think when you're exposed to pure sales as like your first job, you learn so much, you know, you get like really thick skin. And, you know, it's like sales is like the most important skill. You have to learn how to sell yourself. You have to learn how, and then there is not like sales school, you know what I mean? It's like you go to economics or you go to marketing, but nobody really actually teaches you negotiation and sales and stuff like this. This you only learn with life, you know? And it was horrible, like when I was living it, but looking back, I'm so glad I did it really, really young, because I wouldn't have the energy or the patience or the courage, you know, like I was really like fearless, you know, I was just like going, you know, from meeting.
Just breaking up there.
Into meeting and, you know, selling something that nobody needs, that is really, and they were like, are you crazy?
Okay.
Yeah, the connection is not great.
It's not good. I don't know why. So my question to you, when you got let go from the job in the bank, how did you pick yourself up again? Because you said that you were shattered.
So to be honest, it was pretty, pretty dark, because imagine, it was like, you know, my dream job that I worked so hard, you know, to study abroad, to learn different languages, to apply for an internship, apply for a work permit, getting a visa to work abroad. I mean, it's just that I, you know, worked so, so, so hard for it. And then when everything just like shattered, I just thought my life was over. I just thought, oh my God, what am I gonna do now? You know, like, how did I pick up? I need to give credits to my husband. So we were already together back then. And he was an amazing support, and he really picked me up, and I'm so glad that he was there, because he didn't let me give up. And then I immediately started looking for other jobs. I didn't like waste time and like, you know, cry in my sorrow. I was just like, okay, I need to find something else. And, you know, he was sometimes pushing me to do things I would never do. You know, he's like, oh, I heard in the radio somebody's looking for this. I'm like, I'm not going to apply to a radio job. Are you kidding me? And then I did, you know, and it worked. So, yeah.
Incredible. So on the 22nd of February, I'm actually releasing a course called Discover Your Career Potential. And you just mentioned with the banking, it was your dream job and you seem very passionate about it. Why were you passionate about that particular job, and how did you find that passion?
Okay, so that was my first job. So I've learned a lot, you know, through that. So it was my passion, but it is not my passion anymore. I guess when I was in business school, you get so competitive, and you think that, you know, your dream job of being corporate or of this and this and this and this and this is going to be happiness and, you know, making money and having this in your CV, you know, kind of like you're brainwashed into thinking this is the only way. And in business school, it's like either you go for, you know, like the top 500 companies, or, you know, you do the consulting companies, you know, and like everybody's just pitching for that. And then you get kind of like obsessed thinking this is it, you know, this is the only life, this is the only career. And then you just go for it because you think that at the end of the, you know, of the race, that is happiness, that is going to give you, you know, everything in life, what you need to be happy. And it was just such a big lesson that it's not, you know. And then looking back, when things don't work out, they don't work out for a reason. We don't understand them in the moment. And we think like, why did I lose this job? Why is this happening to me? But can you imagine how my life has changed? Like, how different would my life would be if I would be working on a private bank right now? I would probably have reached my ceiling and that's it. And I would probably have like a, you know, good salary job, but that's it. I'm never going higher, you know? And it's not the lifestyle that I want, because, you know, working at a bank, the lifestyle will be completely different than my lifestyle right now. So I'm super, super glad it didn't happen, you know, because then, you know, I got into yachting and then it opened a completely new playground for me that I never discovered. And I'm so happy to be playing in this playground and not in that playground right now. And then how do you find your passion? I think like people overthink it, but it's in the simple things. It's like what really makes you happy, number one. And two, what is your biggest pain point, you know? So if you're able to solve your biggest pain, then, you know, you're passionate about it because you know how much you suffer, how much you hate it, how much something like this doesn't exist, how what you went through. So then you understand your client in and out because you are your ideal client. So you are perfect to target that, you know? So I think like either do something that you really, really love, but often what makes you like ecstatic and super happy, like for me, is dancing. I've always danced. I'm a jazz dancer. I'm a Zumba instructor. I've done ballet. For me, dancing makes me really happy, but I could never live out of dancing. You know, if I would teach Zumba lessons on the weekend, you cannot really make a living. So, sometimes what really makes you happy, you cannot make it a living, but you can make it a hobby that will like, you know, keep your emotional balance, you know, when you're too stressed, then you dance or you paint or you whatever you do makes you happy. But I think solving your pain point is what's going to make you rich, you know, solving your pain point is what's going to drive you, your career forward. Like, for example, in the yachting ventures, we were talking to some crew entrepreneurs. And, you know, they were just solving stuff that they hated. Like, Ed from Jim Marine, he was, he thought that the equipment on the boats for doing gym, you know, he was responsible for that. And they were not suitable for yachts, you know, and they were scratching the surface and they were too heavy and, you know, you couldn't store them properly. So he came up with Jim Marine, which is like, you know, gym solutions for yachts. And it's perfect. You know, this is it. This is genius because he was there. So the moment he needs to sell it to other yachts, he knows exactly, you know, what to say, you know, and he's passionate about it, you know. So I think solving a pain point will give you this passion for you because you understand why you're doing it. And solving that why is a passion.
It is. You've hit the nail on the head, absolutely right. And just to summarize that, like the first point, what I'm hearing from you is don't just chase the dollar sign. Like it's more than that. And I honestly believe it's not sustainable if you just start money because your career is your purpose and it's your ability to leave your mark or footprint on the earth. And you spend so much time at work that you need to love it. You need to be obsessed with it. And I honestly think that if I can do something that I love, then the money will come. I'm not going to look for the highest paying role or job for the sake of money because I know I would just end up burning myself out and giving up. I won't experience that excitement and joy on a day-to-day basis that you are referring to. And pain points, 100%. I remember when I was working on board and I was like thinking of solutions because of the actual problems. And then that gave me purpose. And it made me feel happy that I could fix something and make it better. So I think that is also key. And understanding your values, what is important to you, and again, looking at things more holistically instead of narrow-mindedly and thinking, oh, I'm just good at one thing, which means that's the only thing I can do, but it doesn't pay enough money. It's thinking outside the box. And as you said, like, for example, the dancing, incorporating that in your day-to-day or weekly life where you've got that outlet to maintain that overall wellness.
Yeah. And I think when you talk about problems, I think problems are blessings because we are proud of solving problems. If you look back, the problems that you solved throughout your life so far is what makes you, right? Is the stories that you tell, and you are proud, you know, you're like, I've achieved this and I've done this, you know? So I think having problems are blessings, because once you solve them, you'll be so proud of them. Like, for example, I have a 2-year-old daughter, right? And she's learning how to do puzzles. And I sit next to her, and of course I could put the puzzle in for her, you know, but there's no fun in that, you know. If she finds out the right piece and she gets it together, she starts clapping and she gets so excited that she solved it, you know. And then she goes and tells Papa, look, I know how to make this puzzle. And then we all clap and she's so glad. So I think, like, you know, if you wouldn't have this problem, you don't have this pride of solving it, you know. And I think this is purpose, you know. Purpose is just like, you know, solving problems, you know, and serving others, you know. I think like, when the best way to learn, right? Like, you know, when I did my MBA, and my husband has a PhD, and we come from a very academic background, and you know, the best way to learn is when you teach, right? So it's like, okay, I read something, I think I understand it, but unless you're able to explain it to somebody in very simple words, you have not grasped the concept. So it's like, this is the same thing in life. You know, if you are able to then teach, then that is purpose, because then you're serving, because then you're passing knowledge, because then you're making others better. And I think once you are in this kind of flow and this wave of giving and giving and giving, then you will receive so much without even expecting. And it would just be super overwhelming. Like, oh my God, you know, like, you will get the money you want. You will get the friends, the blessings, the network, you know, everything just come just because you keep on giving and giving and giving. So I think, like, people that expect things, like, oh, I expect money from the government. Oh, I expect the politics to be more stable. Oh, I expect the world to be better, or the doctors to do something better, or the system, or I expect to be loved. Oh, I need to find a man that will give me everything. Oh, I hope to find a man that is wealthy. You know, if you're expecting, you will be miserable your entire life, you know. You just need to give, and then you need to teach, and then this is purpose. And then whenever you're doing something to solve problems that you bring through, this is passion. Yeah. And I think people complicate it more than it is, and it is, like, in everything in life, it's just so simple, but we just like to complicate it.
Yeah. So what was the defining moment for you when you made that decision, I want to start my own business?
I kind of just fell into it, to be honest. I had no choice, because I am non-European. So it was super difficult for me to ask for jobs, because then companies needed to hire a lawyer and make me the papers and stuff like this. Whereas if I started my own company, then I could go to people and be like, hey, I can consult for you and you don't need to hire me, because here hiring in France is really complicated, you know, because then you have all of the social charges and stuff like this. So I said, you don't need to hire me. You don't need to pay any social charges or any taxes on me. You just pay me at the end of the month. I send you an invoice. And it was cheaper for them than hiring me. And I was making, you know, 40% more. So it just makes sense. And then I then was charging by results. So I was like, look, I'll ask for like a small fee, but I know what I can bring. So then you have no risk. But if I bring this, then I deserve this. And then that system just like rolled. And then people were like, okay, cool. Like, there is no risk involved, you know? And I think this is going to be the future of hiring, like outsourcing. Like, many companies don't need to hire teams anymore. You can outsource your marketing. You can outsource so many things, you know? And you don't need to hire, you know? So I think, like, you know, right now there's so much opportunity for entrepreneurs, for freelancers, for independent people, you know, just to provide your services. And, you know, we all want to live that lifestyle of being free, having our own schedule. I mean, just find some skills that you have, and then you can do it behind your computer. You can do it everywhere, and you can have many clients. You can make more money.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. So So with regards to the concept of failure, I love failing, and they talk about failing forward. The reason why I love it is because I feel that failing is my stepping stone to success, because I'm putting myself out there to learn. And I think that is so, so important. So looking at your career, what has been your so-called failure that you have learned from?
So I have a different relationship with failure, because my parents always, like, they never told me that failure was a bad thing. They always told me it was like a good thing. So it was kind of like, what did you do wrong today? You know, what did you learn today? You know, and we were talking about, okay, like, you know, if you fail, awesome, because that means you're learning, that means you're growing. So I think that, you know, if you have this relationship with failure, then it is just another chance. It is just another chance to try again, you know? Of course, you know, I failed many times, but I don't look back and see it as a failure, you know? It was kind of like, it was like a step stone I had to jump, and then you jump, you know? But I didn't dread for too long on it, you know? When I don't look back and I think of my failures, like, it would be really, really, really hard to point at one, because they were just stepping stones to get me to where I am now.
Yes.
I cannot even think of what, but, you know, I just think that everything happens for a reason. And if that didn't work out, it's because then you are now where you are now, you know?
And that's the thing. I see it exactly like you, and I feel so comfortable with failing. And what it helps with is not putting that extra pressure on yourself and being self-critical, because I think when you do, you stay stuck, and it's very difficult to move forward when you're in that headspace. To end off, Marcella, I'd love to know your favorite book.
Oh my God, that is so hard. Oh, I don't know. I read a lot of books and I love them all. I must say the first one I read in my career when I was, you know, for sales, like the first one, just like, it's How to Win Friends, How to Influence People and How to Make Friends, something like this, you know,
Yeah, that's a very powerful book. It's very common, that one. Yeah.
I mean, I remember that, I mean, when I was in my early 20s, kind of like that being something that helped me to be more confident around people, to do business, to, you know, when you're a social person, you know, just like, you know, life gets easier and then you're able to influence people. But the biggest lesson I learned from that is that you cannot change people, but you can change yourself. And how do you react to that? And that was like a big slap in the face, because I always wanted to manipulate or influence or, you know, win the argument. And then, you know, I learned you don't always win the argument. You know, you need to choose your battles. And I learned this at a very young age. Probably I was like 18, 19 at the time. And that helped me so much, because then you see life from a different perspective. Every time you meet people, you get excited because, you know, you know the game. You know what I mean? So I think that book was, you know, something I remember fondly, because that gave me kind of like some skills on how to be a people's person. But I cannot tell you what's my favorite book of all, because that it depends on which subject, you know, like in spirituality, in health, in love, in business, in economics, you know, in finance. I mean, I have so many different books for different topics, but, you know, I remember that book being one of the starting things in my career that helped me a lot.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much, Marcella, for your time. I loved hearing about your journey and how you discovered your passion and purpose.
Oh, I forgot to say, my new favorite book is The Super Yacht Industry, of course.
Yes, your new book, of course. So where can people find your book? Is it online, or how do you purchase it?
So right now I'm completely sold out, so there is no book left.
Oh my God.
I know. Yeah, so we sold 600 copies in 3 weeks, which was insane. I had no idea. I mean, you know, printing the book was really expensive because it's like a big encyclopedia like this, you know, and it's very luxury and very nice. So it was very expensive to print it. And I thought, oh, my God, it's going to take me a year to sell 600 copies. And it went in less than a month. You know, it's crazy. But you can learn all about it at the superyachtindustry.com. And I also created a forum called superyachtindustry-forum.com where everybody can just go and ask any questions about engineering, naval architecture, design, sales, you know, whatever you want, all related about yachting. You can all go and participate in the forum, which is super, super cool. And then I am now working on a smaller version that is going on Amazon next week. So from next week onwards, you can buy it on Amazon. It's called the Super Yacht Industry. It explains everything, how it works from yacht design to yacht building to yacht sales to operations, everything, you know?
That's amazing. Congratulations. So well deserved. You put so
much time
and effort into doing that. And over such a short period of time, I remember when you first reached out and you're like, Anita's not in it. I'm like, how is she going to create this book in like such a short time? It's amazing. Well,
I know everybody told me it's not going to be possible. My husband is like, you're setting yourself an unrealistic deadline, you will never manage, you will get disappointed. The Yacht Club of Monaco told me, impossible, Marcela, impossible, you're not gonna make it. You know, my editor was like, I highly recommend you to reconsider it. And I'm just like, no, I mean, I just work like a beast, you know, 18 hours a day. I didn't sleep. I had a lot of people. I outsourced a lot of help, you know, like the editing and the design and the graphic design and stuff like this. And then, you know, we just worked weekends. And then, yes, in less than a year, we launched it. But I think it totally paid off because we're sold out.
That's brilliant. Well done. So happy for you. And thank you again for your time, Marcela. I know you're very busy, so have a wonderful day ahead.
Thank you, Karen. You too. Have a beautiful day. Greetings to everybody from Monaco. Bye-bye.
I hope that you guys got a lot out of that interview. I'm sure you could tell that it is a topic that we're both passionate about. I can tell you now that engaging in a career or a job that you absolutely love and are obsessed with is the biggest gift ever. So if you want to learn more about finding your purpose and why, then you can join me on my signature course that only gets released twice a year, where you can learn how to find your natural strengths, your purpose, your why, and your passion in a step-by-step 8-week process. You can contact me via my email address, Corinne@thecrewcoach.com, or feel free to send me a casual DM on Instagram, which is the_crew_coach. See you then. Bye.